Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Former Taoiseach Bertie O'Hearn is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Your reaction to the big shock in Northern Ireland, Ian Paisley Jr. losing his seat to Jim Allister. No one saw that coming, did you?
No, I didn't. No, nobody saw that one coming. I think everyone was speculating about what happened in East Belfast and Gavin Robinson against Naomi Long. People were watching that more than anything else. And of course, that's Gavin Robinson has won that one. But the Paisley dynasty was not something I think anybody mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I suppose when you look back at Jim Allister, has been knocking at the door and he's been hammering away at it. And you know, he is a bit of a one-man band when it comes to elections. He tends to win them and none of the rest of his party. But it's a good win for him and an unfortunate day for the Paisley family.
Well, the result for unionism does raise big questions because, as I was saying there to Simon Harris, they're sending eight back to Westminster, but it's so fractured, isn't it? It's four different groups, the DUP, UUP, TUV and one independent unionist. And there have been some calls from unionists for them to unite, but that seems impossible, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's been talk about that for some time, and you know, for maybe many years. They've tried it a few times by standing aside in various constituencies. I suppose yeah, the DUP, okay, they five, but the independent was a former member of theirs, so they would probably think that it hasn't been that bad for them. I mean, there's been a lot of problems for them in the last few months, so I think they'll be a bit. They'll certainly be upset about the Paisley seat, Lagan Valley. I don't think they will be surprised at that. Maybe they'll be surprised at the margin. They got a shock in East Derry, but Sinn Féin ran that really close. But it, again, they won the seat. So I think, you know, unionism, my view about unionism, I think they won't unite as a single party or anything. I don't think that'll work. But what they will unite around eventually is if it ever comes to a vote on a border poll, they will get a united position on that and they'll pull closer together on that. But I still think that's a few years away.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking again at Pat Collins' result as she ran for Sinn Féin and Fermanagh South Tyrone, and that was always a marginal seat for Sinn Féin, but she's held it now by a majority of over 4,000. Is that an individual vote for her, or is it a sign of the times for Sinn Féin? Because as we know, they're the largest party now in Stormont, Westminster and in local government in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I think that nobody can take away from Sinn Féin. I mean, they're in a strong position now in Northern politics. They've done well. They wanted to get that three in a row. They've got that now. I think she's also a very, very good candidate. I mean, she's very popular. She's a very strong representative base with workers. So I think it's a bit of both, to answer your question. I think it's a good vote for Sinn Féin, and it's her personality as well. But Sinn Féin across they've improved their vote share, and they would see that they're probably on seven, and they're always looking to the next election. That's what they were doing in the East Derry, and I think they'll see that there's a possibility of them moving maybe to nine, and that's the way they work, and that's what they'll continue to do.
Okay, now I see Rishi Sunak is offering confirming that he's going to resign. He's just speaking live there outside Downing Street, Bertie, and he's saying that he's going to resign this morning as Prime Minister, which won't be any surprise. The question, I suppose, is whether he resigns as leader of the Conservative Party, and there still seems to be some debate about that, but we'll keep an eye on what he was saying. I was asking Simon Harris there what's top of his list when he speaks to Keir Starmer, and he talked about, well, he wouldn't tell us much, but he said the structures aren't in place now because of Brexit for the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach to meet regularly and for the officials to meet regularly. And you had pointed that out as a really big problem after 2016.
Yeah, it's continued on all the way. I mean, I think Boris never went to a British-Irish intergovernmental conference. Rishi Sunak, in fairness to him, went to one. The structures of the Good Friday Agreement have not been working well on the east-west side. Some people say they haven't been working at all. But I think the structures are there. I agree with what the Taoiseach has said. There's no need for anything new. All it needs is that there is regular meetings. It doesn't have to be. It can be a half-day meeting. Ministers can meet at other quarters. But what I suppose the public, I don't think, quite understand or maybe focus on it. But, you know, in the old days, the EU meetings, there was EU meetings every month. I used to meet Tony Blair or Gordon Brown, always on the margins of that, usually about the North, but not exclusively the North. Officials would be meeting every week at different councils. All that died in 2017, 2018, when the UK finally pulled out after the Brexit 2016 vote. So there's none of that contact is there. So that whole relationship has been lost in the last 7 or 8 years. So I think I'd love to see an early, well, it can be September, October, but a meeting of the Intergovernmental Council, and then regular meetings between the British Prime Minister in attendance with the Taoiseach. And of course, I think there's also an opportunity now to step up activity on North-South issues, because that has been fairly, you know, damaged as well for the last few years. There was no meetings when the institutions weren't there. So I think it's a good opportunity for over the next 12 months to try and get that moving properly again.
Listen, we know it's a Labour landslide when you look at the number of seats, but how do you rate the Keir Starmer victory? I mean, there's this line going around this morning which has been said a couple of times on this programme so far, the loveless Labour landslide, because the vote share is somewhere around 34%. How solid is it for Keir Starmer?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to have to work hard on it. I mean, if you look at it, and listen, we all give our congratulations to Labour. If you look back after the Hartlepool by-election 3 years ago, when Labour lost the seat that they'd held for generations, people said, Keir Starmer, it'll take him at least another election to get there. And that was the unanimous view of things. Now, 3 years later, that was May 2021. 3 years later, he's now in power, a majority of 174 seats. Tories have lost 250. Lib Dems have their best results since 1923. The vote share, because of the system, which I think is crazy, I don't think it's a democratic system, you get 35% of the vote and you clean up all the seats.
Yeah.
In 2002, I got over 40% and I had to form a coalition. But, you know, that's their system. So I think it's not easy. Here's Starmer, you know, the trouble with only 35% of the vote, it can turn against you very quickly. Now, with the majority he has, he's 5 years, but I think he has to try and win a bit of the hearts and minds, as John Hume used to say, of the British people. I don't think he's done that yet.
Yes, okay. Well, listen, we'll leave it there, Bertie. Thank you very much for joining us. Bertie
O'Hearn, thanks very much,
Claire. Former Taoiseach, joining us on the line. We're going to Macroom now, where they've been watching the election results very closely, because Keir Starmer's campaign director and closest aide is Cork man Morgan McSweeney, and his father Tim is on the line now. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
You must be very proud this morning, are you?
Absolutely delighted.
Were you in touch with him? Were you in touch with him overnight, or was he too busy to chat to you?
He was too busy to chat to me. He's been working all night, and I'm sure he's actually going to bed now for a while.
And what were you doing? Did you watch it as it came through overnight?
I stayed watching it until about 3:30, because my daughter-in-law, Imogen Walker, was also a candidate, and I had to wait until she got elected.
And she did.
She did.
Good news for her as well. So tell me a little bit about Morgan and how this interest in politics came about.
I would think that he got really interested probably in his teens. We were always involved in politics in my family. We were always involved with Fine Gael.
Mm-hmm.
And I, against that background, both myself and my sisters and my brothers, there was 9 of us there. We were all Fine Gael supporters, as was our father before us. So we were always Creed supporters. So that's where our background is.
And how did he end up over there then and involved with the Labour Party?
He went to university over there, and he got interested in politics then, and obviously the Irish question was very important to him, and like a lot of Irish people.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the Good Friday Agreement, and he decided that Labour had a better understanding, a greater understanding of the Irish situation than the Tories. So he opted for the Labour Party, which I was glad he did.
Right, and now he's having his day in the sun, so to speak.
Indeed he is.
And no doubt another busy 5 years now ahead of him as well.
Knowing the nature of him, he's probably starting work next Tuesday or Wednesday.
I can imagine so. Your sister Evelyn, then, who runs the sweet shop, I understand, in Macroom, is...
That's right, yeah. That's her home place.
She was a councillor in...
She was a Fine Gael councillor for 20 years.
For 20 years. So you have a direct line in now to the very top in Ireland and the very top across the water.
Well, yes, indeed, because my niece, Claire, is an advisor to the Taoiseach.
Well, there you go.
So we have it from both sides.
Tim, you're the man to know. You've the direct line in.
This is it, yeah.
Have you any sway with the man above?
God, maybe hope. I hope. And if I have, I must say I have a brother who's not very well in hospital, and I hope that he's listening to me on his behalf.
Oh, listen, we wish him well, and I'm sure he's very proud of Morgan and all of them too.
He would be, yeah.
Listen, thank you so much.
We all wish Joe well, yeah.
We wish Joe well, and Tim, we wish you well too. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's Tim Sweeney there, whose son has made him a very proud man this morning. Now, we'll be back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.